go. Got it.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hello, listeners and audience. Thank you for tuning in to iConnect weekly broadcast. Your host, your realtor, Giovanna Williams with Coldwell Banker Realty, have a wonderful guest with us today, the director, George Siegel, author, producer, and documentary film of The Last House Standing. Audience, would you please help me welcome George Siegel from the documentary Last House Standing.
Please, no
George,
standing
thank you.
ovations, but it's great to be here. Great to be here.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much for coming on to our broadcast. George, I just want you to kind of build upon one of the topics, or especially this time of year. I think that the consumer needs to be aware of and most certainly watch your documentary, Last House Standing. How critical is it for the government, and why is it happening now as far as the hurricanes, the tornadoes, things of that nature? And you're addressing some of those issues in your documentary, bringing awareness to the communities all over the world. Would you speak on that a little bit, please?
Sure. You know, it's an interesting subject because it becomes very political when people talk about it, because people want to blame climate change, global warming, and all those other things. What I try to do when I make a film or in my podcast is take politics out of the equation. All right. If tomorrow you said you had a cure for global warming, that's not going to help me for the next 5 or 10 years to have my house survive. So what I try to focus on is the homeowner themselves. What can we
Yes.
do to prepare? Because we can't wait for a bunch of politicians on either side of the aisle to go, hey, this is the problem, let's fix it, because they're not going to. They don't ever fix anything out of Washington. So I think the goal is for us to say, how safe are our houses? First of all, where are we buying them? What are the risks where we're buying them? What features are in that house that will make it safe if a disaster does strike? And then beyond that, do I have insurance? Do I have flood insurance? What's my hurricane coverage? What's my coverage if a tornado or a wildfire wipes out my house? Those are all things we need to do immediately and not wait for anybody else to help us.
I totally agree. Being a realtor here in the state of Florida, as you know, we get quite a few hurricanes. And what I'm finding speaking with customers is that they're not really aware, as you mentioned, what they need in the sense of flood insurance, or just making sure they're aware of, are they in a flood zone? If they are, what is that flood zone? Do they know how to Google, if you want to say, the local government and find out what is my home zoned as? Is it in a flood zone? Is it, even in a wetland, if you want to say? So tell us, George, can you tell us a little bit about the documentary, please?
Yes, what we did with the film is we themed it around the house in Mexico Beach from Hurricane Michael back in 2018, that literally was the last house standing on that row of houses. There were some other houses that survived, but that house was the poster child of what I wanted the film to be about, is those folks that owned that house had a plan, and the plan worked for surviving a disaster when everything else around them got wiped out. And then so we looked at hurricanes here in Florida. We looked at tornadoes in the middle part of the country. We looked at wildfires and earthquakes out on the West Coast and tried to see if there's a common theme about what survives and what doesn't survive. Because as you were saying, most people have no idea about the safety features in their house. They probably know more about the safety features in their car than they do about the safety features in their house. And what's fascinating here in Florida, you probably know this as well as anybody, a home seller is not obligated to tell a home buyer if that house is even flooded. They don't have to tell them. So I could be buying a house from somebody that was under 10 feet of water 2 years ago, and they don't have to tell me about it. So what I tell everybody that is within the sound of my voice, if you're ever looking to buy a house, the first question I would ask and have them put in writing is, Has there ever been a disaster in this house? If so, what is it? And what did you do to fix it? Because if they don't have to tell you, they do have to tell you if you ask, right? Yes. There's that form now. Yes. That's a disclosure yes. form, but you don't have to use it. That's crazy to me.
Right, right. Exactly. You know, that's one of the safeguards that I offer my clients is a disclosure form. Of course, you're right. They don't have to answer that. But doing a little investigative work as a realtor, I can go into the county records and find out if there's been any permits pulled for renovations, things of that nature, if they used a licensed contractor to assess or make the repairs. So those are some of the things I put in place when there's question of doubt if the seller is disclosing.
That's great to know. I'm glad to hear that because I like to think the realtor, if they're showing me a house, is my advocate. Although legally, I can't hold you responsible for everything. I understand that. I have to do something on my own, but it's great to have that extra support. Absolutely.
Correct. I totally agree. So I took it upon myself to do a little research and homework. And I just want to share with the audience and the listening fans of iConnect. There is the website to get information about the building code standards in Florida. And that is inspections@thecityofpensacola.com. And that's where I'm located. With the company that I'm affiliated with is Coldwell Banker. Again, I'll repeat that again. That is inspections@thecityofpensacola.com. So I just kind of want to talk about briefly, if possible, some of the, just giving you a little FYI information so you'll know moving forward, the consumer, the seller, and the buyer. You know, check with your insurance company to see what is the replacement cost if your home should get damaged from a hurricane. I highly recommend that you take the time, sit down, read over your policy. And if you don't understand anything, ask the question to your insurance company to make sure you understand. It is very important. It's very detrimental to your family and to your house to have your home, you know, withstand a hurricane with crazy winds. That's really where the damage is. So with that being said, understanding the quality of your structure. So if you're buying a new home, here's something you want to consider as well. You know, have a conversation with that builder. Usually it's a supervisor or foreman. What is the highest quality standard that they're using for the trusses in the attic, the walls? Just make sure, you know, that really they have a minimum standard that they're required to use per city, per code. At least inform yourself. I have that question. They may do, if you want to say, an upcharge, if you want to use different materials or build your home to a different standard. So I just want to throw that out as some valuable information for the audience and the potential new home buyer or even a custom home builder, because you're not going to always be able to be on the job site to see what materials are being used. And you're not a contractor, so you're not going to know, even if that contractor is telling you the correct information, if that's really the right material.
That's so true. And, you know, a lot of builders that I've met say, oh, yeah, this house is built to code. Well, I've interviewed some architects that say that's not good enough because building to code is saying, OK, your house will survive today. So a year from now, they change the code. 5 years from now, they change the code. 10 years. I want to buy a house from somebody that thought what will be coming up in the future, because I'm not buying the house for a year or two. I might be buying it on a 30-year mortgage. The builder's only guaranteeing this house in some fashion for a year.
Yes.
And then they throw in stuff that maybe 2 years or 10 years. Chances are in 10 years, a lot of them aren't even going to be around to take care of that. So you really need to know how that house was built. And if they don't want to tell you, don't reward them by buying that house. They should be totally open and be able to have that conversation with you. It's your biggest investment. If I said to you, hey, hand me over $350,000, trust me, it's safe, you would laugh at me. You would want a list of things that you would guarantee that money against. But people think I have this house, so my money's guaranteed. That could be gone in a blink of an eye, and you need to protect it.
You're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. If you arm yourself with information, that is half the challenge, and knowledge. As you mentioned, that is the biggest investment most people will make in their lifetime, even in corporate America, on their incomes. My personality, I'm a very strong advocate of doing your research, understanding what you're doing, whether it's buying a shed for your backyard or buying a new home or building a custom home. Knowledge is power. And I think when they see that you're equipped with the correct knowledge, then they're going to probably, hopefully, respect you a little bit more, which they should respect you from the beginning anyway. But you're arming yourself with letting them know, I'm not going to be a victim today with your sales pitch. I've armed myself with the correct knowledge.
Yeah, and I'm not a huge fan of the construction industry, just based on experiences that I've had, because it's such a personal thing when somebody's building a house for you. And, you know, you want to think you're getting their best effort, but then you find out that they got the cheapest subs they could get to do the work so they could make extra money. So the guy that put in your driveway was a guy that was available for a reason. The guy that built your pool might be selling shoes next week. The guy that did your landscaping couldn't plant a bush if his life depended on it, you know, but the builders make, that's their profit areas. That's where they can make money, because they bid that out to the lowest person. And that, not, they don't all do that. There's great builders out there.
Exactly.
The point is, you have to know. And so how can you help yourself? Well, first of all, if you say, hey, how about some referrals, and they give you two or three people, find out other houses that they built in the neighborhood that aren't on that list. Those are the people you want to talk to. I could send you to my sister and my cousin and my wife to get referrals, and they're going to say nice things about me because they want me to make a living. But somebody else might go, don't do business with George. He's a dirtbag. I wouldn't trust him. He's a criminal. And those are the things you want to find out. So you have to do your work.
Yes, I totally agree. I agree. Well, with the last house standing and your firsthand experience of dealing with the devastation those families had to deal with, that city had to deal with, and even trying to restore their lives, of course, in their family, and having to play or deal with the bureaucracy of FEMA, insurance issues or insurance denials, really, I answered my own question. The family that lost house standing had to have had some survival skills already set up, prepared, because they chose to stay knowing the storm was coming, correct?
Well, the people in the house that survived, they were not actually home during the storm, but some of their neighbors lost their lives riding out the storm in their home, because there was, in some areas, 20 feet of storm surge. And it's very hard to survive storm surge, even if you survive the storm. You know, when we've seen in Ian and then Idalia, those storms, the people that are in newer homes generally come out better than the people that are in older structures. Those older structures get wiped out. The problem, though, is when there's storm surge, even a newer home, if it's not elevated properly, is going to get water in it. And yes. I guess if you were looking for a common theme from all the victims in our film, it's shock. They never thought it would happen to them. And some people never recover from disaster. It can set you back 5 or 10 years or destroy your life completely. So if you had to check a box of something you never wanted to have happen to you, it would be having your house damaged in a disaster, because then everything changes. You're relying on insurance companies actually doing their part in paying you. You're relying on a contractor coming in and rebuilding it. You're relying on your employer not firing you because their business was damaged. You're relying on people that are improving helping you with flooding, but actually clean and get mold out of your house. It is a miserable experience. So you want to do everything you can to avoid that happening. As a last resort, you want to make sure you have insurance. So at least if you do have that, there's at least something to start over with. Nothing will bring back personal possessions that have been in your family for years that get destroyed. You can't ever get that back. But you're a heck of a lot better off if you can get a check to start over than if you get nothing. And a lot of people here in Florida don't have insurance because they can't afford it. They don't have insurance because their company canceled them. There's a lot of reasons. And that's just tragic because those people are really taking a gamble that might not be their choice, but it's certainly something they're going to end up paying for.
Yes, I totally agree. With that being said, Mother Nature, we don't have any other option but to deal with it. But I looked at, you know, being in Florida, and I've experienced several hurricanes myself, and just the mental strain of processing what has happened, it is traumatizing. And if you have not or don't know how to condition your mind to deal with the stress level, there's a thin line between stress and mental health that you can easily possibly slip into. I'm not a doctor. I'm not speaking like I'm one. I'm just speaking from my personal experience. But there are resources available. And, you know, with the help of your family and you reaching out to get the appropriate help you need, counseling to help you deal with the aftermath of a hurricane or a natural disaster or anything traumatizing to your home or yourself and your family, that is highly recommended. Because as you mentioned, you can replace your house, you can replace the car, you can replace, you know, clothes, but you can't replace your mental health, because that's going to bring you back full circle so you can continue to live and help your family. And absolutely, all those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're spot on. And, you know, we've had here in Tampa, we moved here in 2017, and there's been three hurricanes that could have wiped us out had they not gone a certain way. There's Irma, Idalia, and Ian. And yeah, we came out okay. A lot of my neighbors did not. Some were without power for weeks. Some had their houses flooded. So we're very fortunate, but it could have gone the other way. And there's a certain fatigue that comes with that. There's a certain stress of going, wow, I just played Russian roulette, fired the gun now three times, and the bullet didn't come out. Eventually, it's going to.
Right.
And that's a very scary feeling.
Yes, you're totally correct. Is there anything else you want to share with us, George, on the topic of the last house standing, based on your experience and creating the documentary for The Last House Standing? What would you want to say to the average homeowner, past or present or future, in preparing for a hurricane in advance?
Well, you have to do it way in advance. You know, the things that are the most vulnerable in your house, you can't wake up 2 days before the storm. You know, what do people do? They run and buy bread and eggs and milk, and they think they're going to be okay. Buy some water, you know, maybe some flashlight batteries. If you have windows in your house that are old, if your roof isn't bracketed to the walls properly, if your front door is going to blow in, if your garage door is going to blow in, the time to fix those things is in January and February, way before hurricane season arrives. If at this point in the year you don't have flood insurance, there's a 30-day waiting period when you try to get flood insurance. You can't just sign up for it and get it. You want to definitely know what's in your homeowner's insurance policy. And you just need to be on your game and have as much knowledge as possible. And if there's nothing you can do and you go, wow, I rolled the dice, I'm living in a dangerous area, make sure you have a plan to evacuate somewhere safe. Don't try to be a hero and ride out a storm if you have a one-story house in a 10-foot flood zone, because you're going to be one of those people that ends up on the news getting plucked off your roof if you're fortunate enough to be able to get to your roof. And you don't want to be that person. You don't want to have that trauma in your life. I would encourage everybody to watch the film. It's available on my website, thelasthousestanding.org. It's on there for $3.99. If you go to my podcast, there's actually a link at the end of my show notes where you can watch the film for free on, tellushowtomakeitbetter.com. if you listen to my podcast. But I would encourage you to watch the film. If you have Tubi TV, you can watch it for free on Tubi and just see what it's like for victims of a disaster. It's a horrible thing. And the whole point of that film is I wanted it to be a wake-up call for people. And I don't know that a lot of people around me, I don't know how it is in Pensacola, but I know here in Tampa, people that have lived here most of their life are not afraid because they've never had a bad hurricane destroy them. So they're kind of feeling invulnerable. We ran into some people, my wife and I, on a walk the other day. This woman said, oh, we'll never have a hurricane hit Tampa directly. And she was Indian, of Indian descent. And she said, there's an Indian lore for Tampa that the Indians knew that this was a safe area and that there would never be a hurricane that hits here. And I go, you know what? I love the fact you believe that, but I don't. And that's not good enough for me that the Indians said it was going to be okay. I hope they're right. I would love to believe that. So I don't think people take it that seriously. And then all the new people that have moved to Florida, you probably see this as a realtor. Some of them have never experienced a hurricane. Right. So they have no idea what they're in for. Right. And they should watch so they can see what they're in for.
Yeah, Florida is the beltline, if you want to call it that, for hurricanes.
Yeah.
I just want to throw this out at the audience. The risk level in Pensacola for flood, with a population of 4,088 properties here, is greater than 26% per chance of severely affecting their homes in the next 30 years. Here's another tidbit of information I'd like to share as well. Prior to the storm, being proactive, when you can even hire an inspector and have them to come out and assess your home, take pictures of it, have a file, put it in a plastic bag or a Ziploc bag, have it in a secure place. So if and when it happens, being a resident of Florida, you want to be prepared. You want to be proactive. And then you want to know where your documents are. With the stress and the trauma of experiencing one sounding like a freight train coming through your house, it is very frightening. I've dealt with several hurricanes, you know, being a Pensacola native. And that's why I wanted you to come on to the show and share with the audience your documentary, the information that I've been able to share so far today, and just giving information, helping the consumer be prepared. And again, knowledge is power. So I also want to share some other information with the audience. You can check with the Florida building codes permits when you have that conversation with your builder or when you have that conversation with your insurance company. And again, it's just having the knowledge you need for your family. There's a lot of resources in most towns. If, you know, unfortunately, you lose a family member during a hurricane, unfortunately, and I don't want to see that happen to anyone, that is another reason you want to reach out to the various facilities and get the information beforehand, knowing what resources are available, such as counseling, or even the American Red Cross, having that information handy. The FEMA Red Cross, the FEMA, which is a government program, you can go on their website and get information, you know, what's the process, what should you be prepared, what documents you may have to turn into them, and you want to put them in that same Ziploc or, you know, however you're going to secure the documents for your insurance, put all of that together so you'll be prepared, or you could even be helping your neighbor. That's a time that I've seen neighbors really, really get close. And that is kind of, again, the Bible Belt of Pensacola with the Southern hospitality, where we look out for our neighbors as best we can. Again, George, I want to try to make sure that I touch on all areas.
Yeah, you know, something I want to jump in on that people should know about, too, when you talk about having that package of stuff that you prepared in advance. Yes. Imagine a disaster comes through and you then start having to piece things together. when the disaster hits, there's going to be a line of people getting in that line for insurance companies, for government assistance, for whatever they need. I would rather be in the front of that line than in the back of that line.
Yes.
And the people that are organized and have their stuff together will do better than the people who are just scrambling to save whatever they can. An insurance company is not going to believe you had a big screen TV. They're not going to believe that you had a Rolex watch. They're not going to believe whatever you say. You better have a picture of it or a receipt or something to prove it, because they may not be real good guys in terms of running out to hand you a check, but they're not stupid.
Right.
You know, they know how to do their business. You have to have as much proof as possible on your end. So yes, being organized, as you're saying, is huge.
Right. Totally. I totally agree. I agree. So I see, what was that? Maybe 30 days ago, there was something brewing out there in the Gulf, and I can't remember the name, whatever name they gave it at that time. And I immediately went into survival mode for my family, my mother. I have an elderly mother, and made sure, you know, she had everything stockpiled that she would need. And it wasn't, you know, you need more than one day supply. You know, what if the Gulf Power or any utility, whatever city you're in, whatever that utility company name it, what if they can't get to you? What if there's power lines down? So I made sure that I had things prepared for my mother, such as water in the tub, additional water that you could buy at the store, sanitizer, because of what I've experienced also with, you know, being from Florida, is that the germ level is really, really high during that time. If you don't have water, it's easy to contaminate your food, pass germs around, making sure you have the hand sanitizer, making sure if you open up a can of beans or a potty meat or whatever kind of canned meat you select, when you go out to purchase your items for your hurricane survival kit, that you know that, okay, if I open this up, read the label, don't get sick, don't add insult to injury. You're already dealing with the trauma of the storm. So if you get canned foods, then know what the storage procedure is. Same thing with fruit juices, because you can easily get sick during that time. And there's probably not going to be any stores or grocery store or drug stores open to, you know, get things you need to overcome. I apologize for the phone like that.
No, that's okay. And it's always amazing when you see right after the storm, kids playing in the water that backed up. There's sewage in that water. There's pesticides.
Yes.
There's potentially alligators and snakes. And I know some people go, just let kids be kids. What are you being? You sound like an old man sitting on your porch. Yeah, but I'm a living old man.
Yes.
you know, because we didn't do things like that. You know, you got to be safe. You have to be smart. And
yes,
there's a lot of snakes here in Florida, a lot of rattlesnakes, a lot of deadly creatures. Alligators scare the crap out of me. I mean, you have to really stay inside. And also, there could be a power line down. You could get electrocuted stepping into the water. That's not the time to run out and play. Save that for a beach day down the road, not right after a hurricane.
I agree. Valid point. I've seen the same thing. The children, and I get it, they're hot inside the house. The air conditioner's not on. Gulf Power is not going to come out, turn your services on probably for 7 days. But we have to step up to the plate and be parents. Hey, look, you can't go. Why is this popping up on my screen? You can't go, you know, outside and play in the water. And that's where the germs, the bacteria get transferred. You know, we just, thank God, went through the pandemic, and that was tragic to this country. However, we don't want to add insult to injury with the pandemic still lurking, in my opinion, in various communities. You're setting yourself up for something probably a little more serious, you know, with the pandemic being out, and there's a storm, and you go out, play in the water, bring it back in, and then your whole family is sick. Plus, on top of trying to survive the storm that hasn't came yet, or that it has came, and it dropped a lot of rain. So I won't go on and on about that.
I hear you.
Yes. So you mentioned, did you mention to me about the surge when there's a hurricane?
Yeah, that's one of the things that kills people. We interviewed Brock Long, who was the FEMA director at the time, when we made the last house standing, and he said when they tell people to evacuate, the first responders or the sheriff will tell them to write their social security number on their arm so they can be identified after the storm, because most people don't survive storm surge. If you have 20 feet of water charging through your house, that's when people get killed, and it's nothing to mess around with. And people used to think they had to evacuate and go hundreds of miles away. They're saying on the news media now, you may evacuation to someplace safe may be going only 10 miles. It may be going 20 miles, but it's just not staying in that specific spot that you know is dangerous and can't survive the storm. If you live in a mobile home, if you live in a structure that you know is an older house that's just not safe, don't risk your life and
Right.
risk the life of your family. Don't leave your pets behind. I can't believe how many people leave their pets behind. But then I hear stories of people taking their pet to a shelter. And I was told by our vet, if you don't have papers to show your dog's up to date on their vaccines, they won't let you into a shelter with your dog. I can't imagine anything more painful, obviously losing a family member, but leaving your pet behind just makes me want to cry. I wouldn't do that in a million years. And so I want people to think about that too. There's a lot to think about when a disaster's coming.
Right. We experience also with several hurricanes, the elderly that are unfortunately not mobile or in a facility, healthcare facility for the elderly. And what they had to deal with, they didn't have a voice, if you want to say maybe their children passed away before they did, and they're in this nursing home. And a lot of nursing homes lost their power. And a lot of the elderly passed away, unfortunately. I take that kind of personal because they built this country, and they get treated like secondhand citizens. So holding the government accountable or the beings that should be held accountable, what advice would you give the consumer to try to prevent that from happening, because it's all governmental?
Well, that's so tragic when it happens. And what I think people need to understand is how are the people in your community, how are the services handling things to help people evacuate? I saw here in Tampa, I think the city and the county did a great job. They had buses available to take people to shelters. They had
Awesome.
shelters opened up for people who had to go there. And you see a real effort to help people survive the disaster. What I want to see and what I'm hopeful about with my film is that eventually we'll be so proactively prepared that we will do better when the disaster hits.
Yes.
But there are a lot of people that work very hard to help during, right after the disaster, getting people to safe places, getting power back on as quickly as possible. So I'm grateful to what all the hard work that those people do. Now we have to do our job on the front side and do what we can to make our situation safer. Because if it's not, then we have to rely on those people. And they come through a lot. But the system can only handle so much.
Right.
If there's thousands of people to rescue, wouldn't you rather be the person sitting there with your feet up in a nice, warm, comfortable, or cool, comfortable room with air conditioning, someplace safe? And we have to look after the elderly. We have to look out for the less fortunate. Disasters test our humanity as human
Yes.
beings. It's our chance to step up. You don't get many chances in your life to help other people or make a difference. And that's a test for us.
I agree. I agree. Wow. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming onto the broadcast or podcast today. So I like to pose a question to you and to the listening audience. As we close out iConnect, the American dream of homeownership, bridging the gap of homeownership, is the service that I offer to clients as a local realtor here in Pensacola. That question is, will your home last through the storm?
It's a great question. Everybody should have a thought about that. I believe mine would. Things happen. sometimes you could have the best plan in the world and then a tree lands on your house. You can't stop everything, but you can certainly do as much as possible. I have a concrete block house. I have, we're at the flood, we're above flood level. You know, I have a hurricane blanket to put on the front door. I always make sure we have plenty of supplies. So I'm doing the best I can. Now, that doesn't mean you're always going to succeed, but at least you know you gave it your best effort. And I think everybody should think about that. They should take a good, hard assessment of what they have and what they want to do to protect it. Number one is your family, but then you have to have them someplace safe too. That's the second thing that you have to always think about.
Exactly, exactly. Is there anything else you'd like to share with the audience before we close the podcast off today?
Yeah, I would love them to check out the film, thelasthousestanding.org. And my podcast is Tell Us How to Make It Better. Tell Us How to Make It Better. That's my philosophy. And it's tellushowtomakeitbetter.com. Check it out. We have solutions for homeowners. Your home is your biggest investment. Why aren't you doing more to protect it? That's my theme.
Yes,
and
I like
love
that.
For your listeners to check it out. And I appreciate all the good work you're doing.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate all the work you're doing as well. With that being said, the American dream of home ownership is obtainable to any and everyone. The process of becoming and maintaining your home during a natural disaster is your responsibility and your family. We are a community, and that is the reason I wanted to have George Siegel on today to share his experience in creating and witnessing the hurricane in, you said that was Casino Beach?
Mexico Beach.
Mexico Beach. So please go to George's website and view the film. Prepare yourself, prepare the family, reach out to the city officials, government officials, and see what we can do for each other and communities local and afar. With that being said, George Siegel, thank you for creating and bringing awareness to this audience from your documentary, The Last Man Standing. Thank you again. We appreciate you.
Thank you for having me on.
And I look forward to talking with you soon and possibly doing another broadcast. Thank you again, audience. After the broadcast, we're going to do a poll and a questionnaire. I urge the listening audience to tune in to iConnect, The American Dream, and answer the poll and the question just for the knowledge of helping people get better equipped and seeing if they're really aware of those two questions that we're posing in our poll and in our questionnaire. Thank you again, George, and enjoy the rest of your day, and I'll speak with you soon. Thank you.
You hit stop record now, right? You know that.
Okay.